Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Student was a guest in the United States on a student visa. No one's entitled to a student visa.
So you revoked her student visa based on an op-ed which trumps the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution.
Someone's coming up here to stir up problems on our campus. We're going to revoke their visa.
She didn't do any of that. She wrote an op-ed.
Well,
she wrote an op-ed, and I'm talking to you about her particular case.
That's her claims and your claims. Those are not the facts.
You, reclaiming my time, you revoked her student visa because
proudly.
She wrote an op-ed.
And
would
we'll
you revoke?
We're going to do more. We will revoke the visa of anyone who's in this country as a guest
are
who's
you,
here to
are
stir
you
up trouble.
Are you going to revoke the visa of somebody who made that?
I mean, the case.
That,
I'll look at it.
That
I'm looking
well,
to get crazy people
actually,
out of our
it's not just about revoking.
Forward
you actually,
revoking
Secretary Rubio, excuse me, reclaiming my time. If these are legitimate law enforcement agents carrying out proper arrest, why are they hiding their identities?
Because then radical crazies will try
because
to
cartels
them.
Have been doxing them. Where the hell have you been? FFS, because cartels have been doxing them. I'm not the only one that's paying attention to this, right? I mean, I don't think I am. I had the headline. We talked about this on air, how you had cartel members doxing ICE agents and how a lot of these protesters, some of them were wondering, well, are these protesters also, you know, getting these guys information and sharing it with the cartel, et cetera, et cetera. That was a real thing. That's why they hid their identities, because jackboot thugs like Prima Jayapal, these people, they have no consideration for the people that are enforcing the laws that they're actually supposed to be upholding. So yeah, that's why they have to hide their identities. That's why they have to wear masks. It's because of that nonsense that people like her continually help to facilitate. And it is just, it's outrageous. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of this first hour, and we've got to talk about the next steps for the Land Being Beautiful bill, which I'm only marginally, I'm still not okay with it. Because it's still trash. We still have Green New Deal stuff in it, Green New Scam stuff in it. They reduced the amount of Green New Scam, but there's still Green New Scam in it. We're going to discuss all of that. And what's next as well, the next steps for this, because, you know, this has to go, just because it passed the House, it doesn't mean it's over. So usually what this means, because of the process through which they are passing this bill, or not passing, shepherding this bill through the reconciliation process. So they only have to have 51 in the Senate as opposed to the 60. So what they're going to try to do, they have to take it. The Senate has to take it. They have to take it into another markup session. They're going to go, it's going to get shredded probably. I think it's going to get shredded by the Senate. And then after that, you have to have a couple of procedural votes before you can, before we even get to the point where the Senate is going to vote on it. So that's, and I'll go over that a little bit more in depth, but I had a lot of people going, what's next? What's next? Well, that's what's next. So it's, we're not there yet with it. And there's still a lot of back and forth to do, particularly as it, you know, as I said, as it heads towards the Senate. And then of course, we had the situation with this shooting that took place, just absolutely horrific. This shooting that took place yesterday evening, it was just so sad. This story of this couple, and I was reading too, the other sad thing is I was reading that he was going to propose, that was all very real. People were trying to say that it was like an orchestrated thing for, tears or trying like an emotional thing, and it wasn't. Like they legitimately, he was going to propose, he had like a ring in his pocket. This is a horrible story of this couple that was, they were shot and killed because they were Jewish. And then we got to get into the COVID stuff. So we got to, oh gosh, and I have some stuff on St. Louis. Can't I have so many things? All right. So first, let's talk about this story, this incredibly heartbreaking story that came out. This was in D.C. This was just, I mean, there, two people killed. There was this targeting of this Israeli embassy staffers, and it was outside of this the Capitol Jewish Museum. And the guy, I don't even want to say his name, he's a 30-year-old. He screamed "Free Palestine" after he shot and killed them. And then when he was in police custody, he kept screaming it. He was screaming "Free Palestine." He kept saying it over and over again. And these staffers, Yaron Lachinsky and Sarah Milgram, were publicly named as the victims. And obviously it's been, the president made a statement about it. They were going to get engaged next week. Like, he was going to propose. Like, he apparently, a quote, and the report that came out on this first was the New York Post. The New York Post was the first one to report that he had a ring in his pocket. He literally bought it this week. And he was going to be proposing. The guy entered the building, the killer entered the building. And here, get this. So after he opened fire and after it was, you know, you had all of the chaos, he went into the building, and the people who were attending this event at the museum, they thought that he was a victim. And they gave him water and they were comforting him because they thought he had been injured by himself. They didn't know he was the killer. He was inside for like 15 minutes and he was apparently, I don't think he was in a state of shock. I think he just adrenaline high and he realized what he just did. And then he asked somebody to call police and then he confessed. And they took him into custody after that point. It's just absolutely heartbreaking. But what do people, I'm going to say, what do they think was going to happen? You had the, all of the Hamas propaganda about, oh, there's 14,000 dead babies. That was a made up number. Most of what you read is entirely made up. And I'll remind everybody, most of what you have seen happen is a direct result of what happened on October 7th. This wasn't an issue October 6th. It was October 7th. And the longer this, and I think the reason this is dragged out so long is because you have all of these other cooks in the kitchen that are trying to tell a sovereign entity what they can and can't do to defend themselves. I guarantee you that if I were to go to my neighbor's house and bust down their door and kill their children, that they would probably want to fight back. But see, if you put this in the context of how the world treats Israel after Hamas decides to do terrorist things again because they're a terrorist organization, the media would be like, they would tell my neighbor, how dare you fight back against her? How dare you escalate? That's how it's always been. That's how it's always been prosecuted in the press. And I think that's why this has dragged out for so long, as long as it has. And there is a real instance of Jewish hatred that's becoming normalized, and there is a real increase of it in younger generations. There's more and more of it, and it's kind of wild to see the stuff that I'm seeing. And when people say phrases like "globalize the infantata," and by the way, that's a protest slogan that has been said at these college campuses. They say things like that. They say that globalize the infantata, and they say things from the river to the sea. What do you think those phrases mean? When you say those things, what do those phrases mean? That's, you're talking about the obliteration of an entire people. That's what it means. And this became so normalized with the press sanctioning it, politicians sanctioning it, colleges sanctioning it, acting like targeting people on college campuses is a substitute for free speech. I mean, the whole thing, what was it? Yet, was it last year the guy set himself on fire that I don't want to say his name either, outside of the Israeli embassy? He set himself on fire and everyone, like, they celebrated him like he was some sort of hero. And then you want to know one of the reasons why I don't like the Qatari jet? Because who the hell do you think is promoting and financing the whole globalize the infantata movement on college campuses? Qatar. It's Qatar. They're Qatari-funded, astroturfed protest. And they're organized all across the United States. This has been reported on endlessly. We just took a jet from them. I don't know. So, yeah, this has been mainstreamed. This kind of hatred has been mainstreamed. It's so sad. I mean, you, after this event, they took the guy into custody. They said he was yelling Free Palestine. How long have you heard that? And then he went in and he was receiving comfort and care from the people inside the museum. He said he needed water in a safe space. And then later he whipped out his little picnic blanket and then was yelling Free Palestine. And then he was escorted out by police. It's amazing. Amazing. There's video of him being taken into custody. And he was still yelling as he was being taken into custody. He was still yelling it. He was still screaming Free Palestine and all of this. I mean, just... for what? For what? 33 years old and he's from Chicago. They were raiding his apartment this morning, apparently. And there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, he's a huge supporter of Hamas. He's a huge supporter of Hezbollah. And then, of course, Lorraine noted that Hassan Piker was just in Chicago to give a talk. They're trying to make him like the left's Joe Rogan. In fact, you know that there's like a whole platform, a whole outreach to try to find the left's Joe Rogan. The left doesn't realize that Joe Rogan was the left's Joe Rogan. Right. But this guy, and Hassan Piker was in Chicago to give a talk, and apparently, didn't he have a Houthi terrorist on his stream?
I think so. Or a supporter.
You know, this is what people do for clicks. Because they want your eyeballs. And so they debase themselves like this. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So this is just, it's insane. Absolutely insane. And then, of course, you know, you have the ongoing story of this, you know, these protests at college campuses and people who are violating the terms of their stay. That's apparently he was also part of I saw this last night, the Party for Socialism and Liberation, which is just basically more glitter on the turd that is socialism. And they're also super big, giant anti-Semites, major lefty. He had made a political donation. The only donation he ever made that was on the records was to Joe Biden in 2020. And I know that's really important to the left. And this said, I was reading on Instagram, it says this, Lorraine noted this too, the guy, he was protecting his girlfriend when it all went down. He was trying to shield her and protect her. Oh my gosh, just absolutely heartbreaking. So I don't know, like, if you start saying this stuff enough and you're like, globalize the infantata and you say these things, I'm just curious, like, you know, at some point, somebody like this guy hears this. And of course, you know, you crazies are going to do crazy things. But this isn't just like crazy sentiment and crazy platitudes that are shouted. It's a call to action. It is a call to genocide. And this guy took it seriously. We have more to come as we roll towards the conclusion of this first hour. Our partners that bring you the program, it's our friends at All Family Pharmacy. All Family Pharmacy is a great, great business. I love them because they make it so easy to get medications that you need. It takes 2 to 4 days or overnight in a pinch. I mean, it's super fast, super affordable, no insurance, no problem, straightforward pricing, online ordering. The shipping is fast. You can get your everyday maintenance medications. You can get your antibiotics, the ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. Convenience is everything, and they assist you in taking control of your health. You can order a 1-year supply of essential medicines for like diabetes treatments, cholesterol, blood pressure, so you can skip last minute pharmacy runs. And everything is made in the USA. They don't mess with stuff that include precursors from China or anywhere else. You can rest easy knowing that your stuff is made right here in the US of A. High quality of standards and safety. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. I use this personally and get 10% off with promo code Dana10. Don't wait, be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
Hamas releases its last American hostage just hours before Trump's trip to the Middle East. Lefties in the media now insist they didn't hide Joe Biden's decline. It was their sources who lied. And Homeland Security is investigating whether Los Angeles County gave our Social Security benefits to illegals. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the 3 Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Follow the 3 Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen as students and young adults interview well-respected CEOs on our national radio show, realworldleaders.org, to learn secrets for success and how to use them to propel their careers.
I really picked up when he said, having a mentor we can go to and ask for advice without feeling embarrassed or without feeling proud of asking for help. Because nowadays, sometimes we can feel like if we don't know something, we are dumb or we just are not putting our whole strength and everything in school. So asking for help without feeling proud of it or embarrassed is something that we need to learn.
I love that you were so aware that you picked up on that. I think I was probably in my 30s before I accepted that kind of...
To hear more and to help us introduce your high school, GED, work ready, and college students to our CEOs, visit our website at realworldleaders.org. That's realworldleaders.org.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently a daughter was charged with assault in a fork attack. It's a fork attack, everybody. She attacked her mother, and it was in Canyon County. Three felony counts related to domestic violence. Where's the wooden spoon? Because I feel like wooden spoon beats fork all day long. Wielded properly, wooden spoon may be the most dangerous weapon in a human's arsenal. And if you disagree, then you were never disciplined as a child, ever disciplined as a child. So anyway, this person's getting their, they're going to court and they've been arraigned. So 35 years old and you're trying to stab your mom with a fork. What's the matter with you? What's the matter? You didn't get the wooden spoon enough. An activist sat 80 feet up in a tree near Port Angeles for 2 weeks. For what? We don't know. Well, I mean, we do, but no. It's something to do with the trees. It's the Olympic Forest Defender Network of Conservationists, and this dude lived two-thirds up a fir tree. What an address. Yes, can you send that to two-thirds up the fir tree in Port Angeles, protesting the sale of a swath of forest by the Washington Department of Natural Resources. They call it apparently a legacy forest, blah, blah, blah. They're protecting the trees. They said it doesn't make financial sense. I don't know, but I'm just... I wouldn't camp in a tree. No, I toss and turn.
Did he bring 2 weeks of food and diapers? Like, what did he do?
Well, I mean, I guess you could just hang over the side and, you know.
Oh, come on.
Pray and spray. I don't know. Like, I'm just assuming.
No, I'm sorry. I even asked.
Well, you did ask a question, Kane, and I did, in all of my knowledge, answer your question to the best of my ability. I'm sorry that it made you uncomfortable over there.
Thankful and sorry.
Mm-hmm. A bearded dragon saved its owner from a house fire. I've heard of some things before. I kind of want to call shenanigans. So a bearded dragon, apparently his name's Spike, he woke up his owner Donald from a nap because he jumped on his face, insisting that he wake up. Now, I would just think that this is shenanigans from a lizard. Donald opened his eyes and saw his bathroom was on fire. He extinguished the flames before they spread to the rest of the home. He apparently slept through the smoke alarms, but not through his bearded dragon jumping on his face. Do you think that that's what the lizard was doing? Or was the lizard like, I hate you and I'm going to try to suffocate you to the best of my ability?
I'd like to believe it's true.
I mean, now he's got salmonella all over his face. That's my first thought.
But he's alive.
I'd be like, ew.
And just, dead.
A man was attacked by a swarm of bees and it killed him. This is horrible. He was in Eastland, Texas, mowing the lawn. And apparently he made a hive quite angry. It's so sad. He was, again, mowing the lawn. Officer did finally pull up to the scene. They said that around, they had reports of a collision, and it caused all kinds of stuff. The guy was being swarmed by bees because it all had to do with this guy mowing the lawn, going over a hive. His face swelled up. He could hardly see. It was just anaphylactic. It killed him. So sad. So sad. We have more in store. Stay with us. Summer is all about making great memories. Backyard barbecues, road trips, lake days, even just relaxing in a hammock with a good book. Spending time with friends and family, catching sunset views. But if you're living with pain, those future memories can be stolen from you. It's kind of hard to enjoy the simple moments when you're in pain. So here's a thought. Try Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement designed to help your body fight pain. It's a doctor-developed formula made with natural ingredients. And unlike pain meds that just mask it, Relief Factor works to reduce, even eliminate your pain for good. So whether you're spending time at the lake or chasing your kids or grandkids or just enjoying a summer stroll, Relief Factor can help you feel better, move better, and do more of what you love. Reclaim your summer. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF to get the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Under the taxing and spending levels in this bill, we're going to rack up, the authors say, $20 trillion of new debt over the next 10 years. I'm telling you, it's closer to $30 trillion of new debt in the next 10 years. Mr. Speaker, we're not rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic tonight. We're putting coal in the boiler and setting a course for the iceberg. If something is beautiful, you don't do it after midnight. I oppose this bill.
Gentleman's time has expired.
Well, he's right, because they did do it after midnight. Nothing good happens after midnight like that. That's what my grandfather always said. He's like, after midnight ain't nothing good that ever happens. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Channel 347 is the stream, and you can also find the chat over at Rumble. And you can find us across the country. So the big, beautiful bill passed the House. It's going through. Has still a way to go before we maybe potentially see it head to the president's desk. And with this, I mean, I don't know how they were able to get it through. You have the what they call the SALT caucus. You have the House Freedom Caucus, which was the caucus that was created during the Tea Party days. And they're the fiscal hawks. They were able to get some of the House Freedom Caucus members on board by reducing a little more of the Green New scam from this bill, which there's still Green New scam in this bill. It's only you're talking about a reduction of hundreds of billions and still paying hundreds of billions. But there it is, 215 to 214 vote. And it's going to get trashed in the Senate. We'll see how it goes. Thomas Massie and Warren Davidson were the two Republican votes. For the people, I got to tell you, first off, I feel like this is a reverse Tea Party thing, because I wrote about this over at Substack. I sent it out last night and I called it accurately, the resurrection of the big spending pre-Tea Party Republicanism has begun. And it absolutely has. I am watching people that are in the Republican Party try to gaslight me and say that too big to fail kind of spending is conservative and you're a squish if you don't support it. Remind me, actually, I don't need to be reminded because I was on the first phone call that launched the second Tea Party and helped organize it in numerous cities across the country on my own time and my own dime, I might add. And we were all up in arms over we didn't start being angry at Barack Obama. We started being angry at Republicans. People were in the streets long before that election happened. And that has been so whitewashed by the press. It's crazy. Even the conservative press, or right-leaning press, I should say. And all of the initial criticisms were all directed towards big Republican spending. We redefined what Bush League was. The too big to fail, right? And other runaway GOP insanity. And then it later turned into a criticism also of that continuation that was personified in Barack Obama's administration. They wanted to excuse these Republicans at the time overextended government because they thought that was a good use. That was a justification of growing government so long as you're advancing Republican Party platform issues. But they didn't have the foresight to realize that Democrats could do the same damn thing. Really, really stunning. And it ended up not even mattering if those issues were moored in any type of fiscal conservatism or even the enumerated powers in Article 1, Section 8. It didn't matter. As long as it moved the ball down their part of the field, then they were okay and they could justify expanding government, like with the Patriot Act, expanding government reach and surveillance, too big to fail, all of this stuff. And so it's really stunning. And I mentioned this yesterday with Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was really stunning to see some Republicans get mad at lawmakers like Thomas Massie, because how dare he and these other politicians take those campaign promises seriously? Damn them. We told them we weren't going to tax Social Security and we did it anyway. Damn them for asking us to not. Shakes fist. And I talked about this, like I said, on X and yesterday. as well. The goal, they wanted to get it done by Memorial Day. I don't know whether or not it's going to happen with the Senate. We'll see. But I was told yesterday by members of the House that there was not a clean bill with just the DOGE cuts or anything else, because they were told, members were told by the White House explicitly, that they were not ready to incorporate those yet. And I talked with more lawmakers than I can count on one hand about that. Just going to say it. So a lot of the big spending members that were in the House had no issue with any of this. No issue. They had no issue with including special interests or wealth redistribution demands. So I want to talk for a minute, because what is in there still is the taxes on Social Security. And we had Chip Roy on yesterday, and he was talking about some of this, and he was getting eaten up on social media about it. Now, I'm mad, and I'm going to explain to you what this Byrd rule is. Now, sidebar, I think, and, you know, again, I'm not a parliamentarian by any sort, but I just think that, you know, if Congress creates a rule, they can uncreate it, even if it's in something that they want to make statutory, right? I mean, just undo it then. I don't know. It's my thought. Anyway, so the Byrd rule was created back in 1974. Yes, probably by that guy. It was in the 1974 Congressional Budget Act. And what the Byrd rule does is it prohibits provisions in reconciliation bills that are defined as extraneous to, like, not germane in total to budgetary reform. And that includes changes to Social Security. And so this is why this affects the Big Beautiful Bill, because the Big Beautiful Bill is being advanced through budget reconciliation. And when you're using the reconciliation process, and they're doing this, by the way, so they can bypass what you know is going to be a Senate filibuster. They're going to pass it with a simple majority, and that's 51 votes. And so if you have any provision in it that alters Social Security and even, like, looks at taxes on benefits, I know. Apparently, that is interpreted as a violation of that rule, and the Senate can remove it. So that's the Byrd rule. So that was what Chip Roy was referencing yesterday when he said the mechanics make it difficult. He's not giving you excuses. He's telling you what idiots in Congress have done before him and how this rule, I don't know why that rule, I don't know. I don't know what it would take to get them to change it. All I know is that that's the rule that's in existence now. And that is why, and it's from what I understand from another lawmaker, it's more than just a congressional rule because it was passed the way it was. It's actually law. Now, I don't know if there's been previous violations of it to the extent, you know, that we're here, you know, at this arbitrary deadline for this. But that is why he said, yeah, that's what the mechanics make it difficult. The mechanics that he's talking about is the codified Byrd rule, which means that if the Senate finds something in here that is related to Social Security or anything that can be misconstrued as not germane to the purpose of budgetary reform, the whole point of that reconciliation bill, they can strip it out. So they wanted to avoid that altogether. So what they did is they decided to give a piddly little deduction. Now, I had people saying, well, that's something. I've been told that for forever. It's something. How long have we been told that by Republicans? It's something. Oh, you're getting something out of it. I'll be damned. This has been a long time that some of us have been. I've been an activist since my 20s. I have been told this the entire time. I mean, this is crazy. So, yeah, we're tired of hearing it. Now, the thing that makes me mad about it is even knowing this. And the Republicans, when they campaigned on all of this, when they campaigned on reconciliation and they were talking about getting no taxes on Social Security, etc., they were telling you this knowing full well they would not be able to do it in the manner that they were also campaigning on doing it. They were saying all throughout the campaign they were going to do it with budget reconciliation, and they knew the entire time that they couldn't do it. They lied to you. And some of them are politicians that are beloved to you, that lied to your face. I'm just telling you what's up. So yes, you were lied to. Absolutely. Are they going to come back with it? No, they're not. Oh my gosh. I love the, oh my gosh. Bless baby hearts. I love the innocence of people who are like, well, they're just going to go back and redo it. God love you. I want to be able to look at the world with those rosy glasses, right? I want to be able to look through those glasses and see like peppermint roads and sparkles in the air and, you know, the money does grow on trees. That must be the type of world that people live in to think that our Congress is going to go back and do this all over again as they embark on a midterm cycle. Not going to happen. That's sweet, but it's not going to happen. From what I understand, taxes on retired military pay, I think also they're still in. Now, they did change, and I will update this. I haven't had a second to update this post at Substack. They are including the Hearing Protection Act in there. That was a step in the right direction. That did make it in the bill. So the Hearing Protection Act, as now I'm going to tell you, literally at like 6:45 last night, it was not in there. It was not in there. Last night, when I'm writing everything and I'm preparing for the show, because I was talking to lawmakers in Congress, like, I would like to know. I want to know what to tell your voters because we have X amount of affiliates in your state. Or I want to know because we know who's watching digitally. You know, there's millions of people that tune in every single day. And we want to make sure, whether it's terrestrially and then digitally, I want to make sure that you're telling your voters, you know, what's up. And there was some that was shaved off of the Green News scam. But the Green News scam, you can't say that it's not funded in this because it still is. The other thing is we'll dive more into this, the SALT deductions. I get so aggravated at the SALT deductions, and I feel like people don't understand how this works because it absolutely is a wealth redistribution scheme. I've had people tell me all last night, and they're the people who I think are Mike Lawler fans, and no offense, he's trying to deliver for his state, but it's wrong. In Texas, for instance, let's just look at, because we don't have an income tax rate, so let's look at property tax rate. Do you know that California, their property tax rate is actually lower than ours is in Texas? What? By a full point.
Seriously?
Oh, your girl spent a lot of time in the weeds last night. Wow. So California's overall property tax rate is 0.75. Texas's is 1.74. And the fact that we lack an income tax is the only thing that actually kind of slightly insulates us. California's, their tax levels are actually only a smidge higher because of that, and that's it. Now, my congressperson is not all over the media demanding that Texas be relieved by everyone else across the nation of the burden that Austin, Texas has created. You see how that works? I am not demanding to pay less and you pay more. That's the wealth redistribution right there, if you need it explained so simply. Furthermore, this BS narrative that blue states have been bailing out red states, why the hell do you people need SALT deductions if that's true? And seen. Now, the cap of this was, I think, as a 2017 cap. That the cap that was instituted in 2017, and that was the same bill that also had the tax deductions with it, the tax decreases with it, the tax cuts from Trump. That was the first step in forcing these states to account for their own fiscal mismanagement by capping X amount, and then the states had to deal with the rest. This is what they wanted to introduce to change all of that. So and the SALT made it in. But my issue is that a lot of these Republicans, instead of saying, oh, we know this sucks, this is horrible, and I think we oversold you, They're attacking the people that are like, wait a minute, you promised, and where's the return on that promise? They're attacking the people that are trying to keep them honest. This is like the Tea Party all over again. I'm seeing the Republicans do the same thing. They're trying to put themselves up on a pedestal and act like they're being like some kind of principled to what? I mean, if you're at all continuing Biden's spending levels, whiskey tango foxtrot. You can't get mad at people for wanting to hold you honest. Come on. And I'm not doing this thing where I'm going to ask kiss a bunch of Republicans or anyone in any elected position and act like this is, oh my gosh, it's so great. This is not the biggest tax cut in history. I don't even know where that came from. That's the dumbest talking point I've ever heard. 2017 was great. It just wasn't made permanent by Congress. That has enraged me since then. Now, all of this other stuff, we're going to talk about it more. There's a 4-year limit on it. So any benefit that you do get from any kind of tax deductions has a four-year limit. They did that so they could try to lower the cost when they sent it to the CBO. We're going to talk about that here coming up. I know. Our partners at Home Title Lock. You need to protect your title. I mean, if you haven't yet, good heavens, I don't know. I don't know why. With our AI cyber era, you definitely want to make sure that you have your most valuable asset, like the most expensive thing that you own, protected. Because it is actually super easy. I'm not saying I tried it, but it is easy to swap someone's title, to swipe it. All it takes is a signature. And people can, criminals can they can forge your name, they can add a fake notary stamp, and for a little tiny, little bitty filing fee with the county, they can take your home's title, and you're not even going to know it happened. That's until you start getting collection calls and foreclosure notices, and then you have to hire a lawyer and spend thousands of dollars to prove that your home is, in fact, yes, yours. And it's easier with the cyber-driven world. It's happening more and more. You need to get Home Title Lock. In fact, you can get a title history report and a 14-day trial of their $1 million triple lock protection using promo code Dana at HomeTitleLock.com. And what that means is that's 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and should fraud happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Visit HomeTitleLock.com today and use promo code Dana.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Under the dramatic scene in the Oval Office today, the tense confrontation, President Trump ambushing the president of South Africa.
Up next, another Oval Office meltdown, President Trump ambushing the president of South Africa.
Right, President Trump is being accused of conducting something of a diplomatic ambush of South Africa's president in the Oval Office.
To be with you, I'm Katie Turr. President Trump orchestrated another Oval Office ambush today.
Today, Donald Trump meeting with the president of South Africa and attempting to ambush and humiliate that leader.
To Zelensky territory, where essentially he was a bit ambushed inside the Oval Office.
Felt like an ambush.
Why was he ambushed inside the Oval Office? What? I mean,
new script went out.
Yeah, everybody was like, "Oh my gosh, we just got it." They love genocide now. Yay!
Talking points are a thing.
I cannot stand the talking points of this press. It's just so asinine. So coming up, I'm going to tell you a little. We're going to go a little bit more. Tell you about the latest with that big beautiful bill. Particularly about the sunset of a lot of some of the cuts that are in there, especially like, for instance, no tax on tips, overtime, car loans, the child tax credit, the standard deductions. There is going to be a 4-year. It's only for 4 years. The reason they did that was to artificially lower the cost when they send it through the Congressional Budgetary Office. Now, think about when that sunsets, where does that put us on the calendar? Oh my gosh, yeah. Now it's hitting you. So we're going to talk about that coming up. We got a lot still to hit. Second hour on the way. Stay with us. Hey folks, so I want to share something important that every American should be aware of. We're seeing a lot of economic uncertainty right now. You have the national debt rising, global trade tensions impacting markets, and tariffs with higher prices on the stuff that everybody uses every day. It's not about panic. It's about preparation. So this is why I partnered with Goldco, the top-rated precious metals company, to help you take a step towards protecting your financial future. Smart investors look to hard assets like gold and silver to help weather the storm. It's a strategy that's been used for generations. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit that breaks it all down for you. And if you qualify, you could receive unlimited bonus silver, real silver, matched to your account with no taxes or penalties. It's a smart move that could help you feel more secure with what lies ahead. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to get started. That's DanaLikesGold.com and move forward with confidence.
This was a critically important negotiation. I was very clear for over 2 years that I would never support a tax bill that did not adequately lift the cap on salt. We put pen to paper yesterday, met with leadership, worked throughout the course of the day to come to an agreement that would lift the cap on salt and provide real and immediate and lasting tax relief for hardworking middle class families. The agreement would lift the cap to $40,000 with an income cap.
So that was, he's part of the SALT caucus, and they did get their little SALT deductions in. But that's Mike Lawler, who was saying, yes, because we can't cut our taxes in Albany. That means all of you guys everywhere, you guys have to, you can't deduct as much as we can. We don't want to pay that much because we can't do anything in Albany. That's like me complaining that everyone else, no, you guys should pay more and me a little less because our property taxes are so high in Texas. That's an Austin problem. That's not an everybody else outside of Austin, Texas, or outside of Texas problem. If you're out there bitching because you're, look, you live in New York. I can't even believe that they pay like 40% of their income in taxes. How do you live there? I think 1% is too much. 1% is too much. The government's demanding money that it didn't earn. That's welfare. That creates a lot of resentment. There's a lot of places to go with us. Welcome back, Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of the second hour. Let me tell you about the big, beautiful bill. Let me give you the latest. And we got some other stuff to hit, too. So a lot of the Green New Deal got scrapped out of it. I don't know how. There's still a lot there. But a lot got scrapped out, but a lot's still there. The Hearing Protection Act was included. That's the suppressors not being considered a National Firearms Act item. Here's the really bad thing. So all the no taxes on tips, everyone's like, yay, we got no tax on tips, which I still think is ridiculous. Like, why are you just identifying one part of the working public? Everybody should get, you know, no taxes on anything. Abolish the IRS, but here we are. The standard deduction, the car loans, the child tax credit, which I also think is another. I don't like these insane Rube Goldberg wealth redistribution schemes that we come up instead of just cutting taxes for everybody, right? All of that stuff, that is only in effect for 4 years. Why is that? Well, because they needed a certain score from the CBO, the Congressional Budgetary Office, which is going to tell you what the score of this bill is, how much it's really going to cost. And remember how I've said over and over again that the CBO, it's like prompting AI. It'll only tell you what you give it based on the parameters that you give it. So they only limited that to 4 years, and they kept all of the spending for DOD, Customs and Border Patrol, ICE, and they have the tax handouts, and it's all for 4 years so that they could artificially lower that score. Now, that's all going to expire in 4 years. This is like the 2017 tax cuts all over again. This is going to expire in 4 years. All in 2028. Well, damn, Kane, what happens? What happens in 2028? What's that? What's significant? What's significant about that year?
It rhymes with presidential selection.
It's the election.
Yeah.
You're telling me that that's a general election year.
Yep.
We're going to be in a presidential election cycle, and all of this is going to bust apart. Huh. Well, they have no foresight at all in Congress, do they? None. Let's just only do it for 4 years. Instead of cutting any actual spending, let's just put a time limit on how much tax cut time people have. That's what they did. You have a time limit on tax cut time. So they could get an artificially lower score from the Congressional Budgetary Office. That's literally how that works. So, by the way, this bill would not have even gotten this far with any meaningful anything if it had not been for like a handful of lawmakers in the House raising hell. The Tea Party ones, the ones that the Tea Party put in there. You're welcome. And we're still adding a butt ton to the deficit. Gosh, can you imagine? Think about this. In 2028, we're going to be rolling toward, I don't know what's going to happen after midterms. If Democrats take the House, my gosh. Imagine if you have Democrats who control the House and you have Trump in the White House, you're going towards a presidential election and concessions are going to have to be made. They're going to give up everything. I'm just telling you. No, It would make a difference to me if this was one of many small cuts in spending, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts, if they were using that sort of approach, but they're not. They're so scared to cut spending that they couldn't even pass what the rescissions package was, $9 billion. They couldn't even pass that. They couldn't even do that. They did not want to use the debt ceiling as a negotiating tool to cut spending. And so now we're going to have about $4 trillion in new debt in this bill. They won't use it. I would be holding everything hostage. I'd be like, you like this debt ceiling? It'd be a shame if anything happened to it. I mean, I would be threatening. See, this is why I can't be in elected office. I wouldn't be whipping votes. I would literally be whipping lawmakers. I would be like caning them like Sumner in the damn chamber. So we can't, you know. So yeah, they're not going to use anything else for leverage because these people do not know how to negotiate. They don't know how to play ball. They don't know how to play the Game of Thrones. They go in there, well, I don't know. I guess maybe let's put a limit on tax cut time so we can fudge the numbers to the CBO and pretend that it's a great get. And then everyone's like, yay, because you know what? You guys are overburdened already. You're all out there busting your asses. You don't have time to sit here and watch every little Machiavellian machination that these stooges do. Fortunately, it's my job. But and they think that you're not going to pick up on this stuff. And they're counting on people like me not telling you either. And then there are people who have turned into such cheerleaders for the Republican Party that they don't want to lose any clout by being critical. So they try to wash everything up as being awesome. Gosh, this is awesome and historic. I'm not going to lie to you. Now, I like that the Hearing Protection Act was put in there. That's a great thing. But if people are expecting me to exaggerate praise for the purpose of clicks, go die in an AIDS fire, because it's not happening. Not at all. I mean, there's other fires, Kane, yeah. You know. It's the worst one. There was an amendment. Do you know that Chip Roy out of Texas, he had an amendment to have the courts out of the deportation cases and really beef up state enforcement laws. And no one in the administration ever pushed for it. And nobody else in Congress ever wanted it. So the whole agenda of deportation is pretty much DOA. So it's like you can spend all the money on ICE that you want to, but if you don't have any reform in the judiciary, what's the point? You know what I mean? If you're going to spend all this money on enforcement, but you're not changing the judiciary to actually like stop this, then what is the point? So I don't know. It's this bill reminds me of Too Big to Fail. This is the type of bill that the Tea Party would have been organized and fighting against back in 08. And 09. Absolutely. But we're told, no, it's great. It's not, though. Is it? But it's better. Better than what? The original turd sandwich that it was? With slightly less turd. I mean, is that what you're telling me? That doesn't suffice anymore. What I don't like is being oversold and lied to. Like, don't come out and tell me like, oh, we're going to do all this amazing stuff and all the, but not really. And then if we do a couple of things, it's only going to last for 4 years. Man, I got to tell you, I feel really bad for any Republican I don't feel bad for you. If you're in Congress right now, I don't feel bad for you at all. You deserve it. But it's going to be a really rough life for them in 2028 when they got to fight with all this, when they got to deal with all this. Imagine the fight that this sets up with Democrats in the House and the Senate. Oh, they got to come back hat in hand. We need more tax cuts, sir. We were stupid and we only put a 4-year limit on it. We got to extend them again because we can't make anything permanent because we're losers. What do you think Democrats are going to do? Okay, sure, we're going to help you in a presidential election when we're trying to win the White House and everything else. We'll go ahead and make some compromises with you for that. No, that's not going to happen. Come on. So I mean, if they weren't going to look, I have a friend who was like, why didn't they go out on all out on immigration? If you're not cutting spending, which I agree, why not go out all out on immigration then if you're not going to cut spending? Because now we're, I mean, the wall, we're going to, any money for that? Any other money? I mean, come on. There's a lot of stuff here. But Dana, there's some good things. Why can't you focus on the positive? Wow, this basket that we're all riding to hell in is woven really nicely. Does that suffice? There you go. Look, silver, I said something
lining.
Positive.
Yeah, silver lining.
Love the way this is woven. Really nice raffia for this basket, Kane. Have you noticed? I probably couldn't chew through it if I tried.
Wait, where's this basket going?
To hell.
Oh.
So nice. This ride to hell is super cushy in this linen-lined basket. There you go. Ooh, I did it. I was positive.
Big, beautiful basket.
Oh, my gosh. So I don't want to be, I don't like to tell you bad news. You know, I don't like to tell you this stuff. But, we need to. I got to be honest with you about it. But with all of this that they had in here, I do like the full repeal of suppressors from the NFA. That was in the manager's amendment to the bill. Now, we still got to get through some more rules committee stuff and that, but we'll see if all that survives. But I don't know. This, the numbers don't lie. And regardless, the deficit's going to get worse and all of the tax relief is a four-year limit. So guess what? We're going to, and make sure my computer's turned up too, please. Because when we start rolling into 2028, we have all of this fight on our hands. We're going to have a presidential election cycle. We're going to be fighting for control of the House, fighting to keep the Senate. And we're going to be coming and asking, can you extend this? Not going to happen. As we move, our partners over at Preborn. You want to talk about another charitable organization that steps in and eliminates the need for government to expand itself? Well, look no further, because Preborn is it. Preborn meets women where they are that are facing unplanned pregnancies, and they rise over the noise of society that tell women, oh, you can't have this baby and raise it. Go ahead and have an abortion. So Preborn's whole ministry, they love the women. They empower them with the choice of life, and they let them facilitate them hearing their baby's heartbeat for the first time. And when a woman hears her baby's heartbeat, she's facing an unplanned pregnancy, that baby's chance at life doubles. They've studied it numerous times. And they want to provide 1,000 ultrasounds for the month of May. You can visit preborn.com/Dana to donate or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. One ultrasound can double a baby's chance at life. One ultrasound costs $28, $140. Every penny goes right to this. And Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. You can give with confidence. All gifts are tax deductible. And they don't just stop at ultrasounds. They partner with women for the first 2 years of their lives to make sure these babies and moms get off on the best foot and are empowered and never... They stop the cycle. It's amazing. Dial #250, say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com/Dana. They want to sponsor 1,000 ultrasounds for the month of May, and everyone can help save a life.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Gosh, Kane, I was too busy being a rat here on break. Okay, here we go. We're going to talk about that lady who couldn't press the tornado button in St. Louis. Yeah, lady. We're going to talk about her in a moment. All right, let's see here. We've got Memorial Day weekend travels expected to break records. I just can't wait for the plane fighting videos. Everybody was plane fighting. I can't wait because you know there's going to be some stuff that pops up. Somebody's going to yell world star and somebody's going to be screaming that they got to move a seat. You know what's going to happen. They said that the travel this year is going to break the record. 45 million people are going to hit the road between Thursday and Monday next week. They're projecting about 45.1 million people are going to travel at least 50 miles from home. And that 44 million people, the last time this was so crazy was 2005. So they said that most people are going to pack up and fly hundreds of miles away. Others are going to take a road trip to visit friends. I don't do road trips like that to visit friends. If I'm doing a road trip, I don't want to visit nobody. I just yeet me off into the stratosphere somewhere. Anyway, I just am only here for the whole video where that person is not real. I'm only for that. Airlines are bracing for the summer of hell. The summer of hell. So it's usually a boom for the airlines this year. Could change that, they said. They began projecting strong growth, but one issue after another, like making tiny seats. Oh my gosh. I saw a headline where some airlines are experimenting with what they call stand-up seats, where you stand the whole flight. And so, like, for every one regular seat, you could basically squeeze two people standing in a seat. It looks like you're on a jockey, like you're on a bicycle seat. Not even kidding. They're actually experimenting with that. Hands to sky. I'm going to get the link. But they're talking about cancellations. So it's the summer of hell. And they're just anticipating. Oh, Juan's got it. This is what I'm talking about. Look at what they're trying to experiment with now. It's called the Skywriter. Look at it. They're crammed in. That man can't even get a bag in. What if you have to work on your flight? Why would you do that to people? Beat these people. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. The Super Barine is it's the new product that you can actually now get at Sam's Club. And you have the Super Beats heart shoes there as well. But the Super Barine product at Sam's Club, unique berberine that's been used. A lot of people are talking about metabolic health and the support benefits of berberine. But you can't just buy any street berberine. You're not going to be Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Let's get some of that good old bridge berberine. You need actual quality ingredients. And that's what this delivers. Super Barine, what they use with Super Barine is clinically studied to deliver nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. So this means that you have highly concentrated, easy to swallow capsules and you just take one daily because of the concentration. Now, if you are concerned about berberine and GI distress, do not worry, do not fret, because the unique berberine in the Super Barine they use includes grapeseed extract for greater tolerability. So it's now at Sam's Club. So you can go and get your all big fountain drink and walk around and get your Super Barine to support the healthy metabolism and blood sugar. It's my favorite thing to do is get a big fountain drink and walk around with my cart. And it's less than a dollar a day. Plus, you can get $5 off the Super Beats Heart Chews through June 1st. One quick stop to support your heart health and take control of your overall metabolism health from the friends at Human.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
So welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this very weird second hour. So, as you know, Kane and I both come from the illustrious city known, Kane, as St. Louis.
Yes, ma'am.
Not St. Louis.
Nope.
That's just in a song. St. Louis. St. Louis gets a lot of tornadoes, or, as my late grandmother would say, tornaders. Sounds really similar to tomatoes now that I'm thinking about it. But anyway, also delicious. But they had a lot of storms and a lot of people are cleaning up. And I mean, some towns have been really just ransacked. I think there's a town in Iron County, Missouri, Dozark, Missouri, which was obliterated by not this last tornado, but the one before that. And I think they got some fallout from this last one, too. So a lot of storm damage, a lot of recovery, a lot of destruction. Well, then there was this story that came out because there were a lot of questions as to, preparedness and response, right? Very important. There's a reason why you got tornado sirens and alerts and things like that. Like, for instance, the town that I live in, they send you out text messages with inclement weather, a lot of them. Sometimes you don't need to send out that many, but I digress. Well, something bad happened in St. Louis, and it had to do with this very DEI-ish commissioner. Five people were killed in these tornadoes that happened last week. And the DEI commissioner of the City Emergency Management Agency and her staff, they were at a workshop, and they just totally forgot to activate the tornado sirens. Oh, sorry. The commissioner uses they-them pronouns. Yeah, they just got thrown out on their they-thems because they didn't press the button alerting everyone that there was a tornado, which you have to be near a button to press to tell everybody, hey, there's a tornado. We don't have the technology to do it remotely. But anyway, so I wanted to, that's what happened. After the devastating storm, the emergency management director they, them, Sarah, they, them, Russell, they, them, failed to activate the tornado sirens. And residents had no idea Whiskey Tango Foxtrot was happening. Now, they placed they, them, Sarah, they, them, on paid administrative leave. Vacation. I know, that sounds like vacation. More time for her to go to Texas Outback or Outback Steakhouse or Texas Roadhouse or whatever. Here's the audio. Audio soundbite 27. Here's some audio on this. Listen.
The SEMA office is very small, and the majority of the time we work closer to business hours unless the need arises, such as what we're doing now, or special events. A lot of that work takes us out into the community, so we aren't necessarily in our office space at all times. We do have a very small staff. I have received reports of people that did hear it. I've heard from a lot of people that said they haven't heard it.
Excuse me, it's ma'am.
So,
it is ma'am.
The SEMA director was placed on paid administrative leave. And in a statement, the mayor, Kara Spencer, said that SEMA, quote, failed to alert the public to dangers. Let me see. Your agency is called, checks notes, City Emergency Management Agency. So you manage emergencies as an agency for the city. It's pretty self-explanatory. You have one job, uno jobs. One, Kane, uno jobs, un jobs. That's all you have. And she couldn't do that. She couldn't hit the button because they were at a workshop. I mean, in St. Louis, it's a little bit different from Texas. Texas, you'll be outside, it's a sunny day, and all of a sudden the fates conspire to kill you out of nowhere. Big clouds roll in before you can run screaming to your car. And raindrops as big as animals just pelt you to death. And in St. Louis, you can see it coming from a mile away. It is a buildup. It doesn't really come out of nowhere. Born and raised there, it doesn't really come out of nowhere. I mean, you see it coming. And you have, you know, have time to at least think, at least, maybe we should activate that good old emergency management system as a part of the checks notes, City Emergency Management Agency. And they, them, didn't do that. So people were not alerted to the public danger. Now, that's your one job that you have. So they're placed on leave. And they said that they're launching an internal investigation into the actions of Sarah, they, them, Sarah, her, on the day of the tornado. Because the sirens, they did not sound as a tornado busted up major parts of St. Louis. There was no siren. None. You have one job. She was at a workshop. So Russell contacted the fire department to activate the sirens later, but apparently the unclear communication, nobody really, you have to do all of that. There's not like, you have a life alert button. You can fall down somewhere and life alert and people will come get you. You don't have nothing like that for a tornado. In places like St. Louis in the spring, you basically have to wear one to just, oh, there's a tornado. I mean, it's like that. There's so many. When I was a little kid, I was in a tornado. I've been near a tornado once and in a tornado once. And it hit our daycare. And I watched. So we had giant concrete tubes that you, as a kid, I could stand up and an adult would have to crouch down. But the tornado rolled those things. I've never seen anything like, it didn't bother the chain link fence for the playground, but it rolled the concrete tubes that we would literally roll and play. I've never seen anything like that happen in my life. Crazy. And then another time, when I had just had my second son, there was a tornado that came through, and we lived in rural near outside of Festus. And I saw a tornado from my backyard. I saw the funnel cloud from my backyard, and we all had to go get in the basement. And I had to break open my collectible Mace Windu figurine to keep my oldest son from crying his head off. Never got over that loss, but remind him of it frequently. But it worked. The why was there any kind of ambiguity? That's one of the things that they cited. There was ambiguity in the directive to act. Kane, let's play a game. Okay, you're a fire department.
Yeah.
I'm the they, them, city, whatever management emergency person.
That authorizes these warnings.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Bring, bring, bring.
Fire department.
I think there's a tornado. Can you press the button?
Will do.
Thanks.
And ta-da!
Scene.
And scene. That's how it works. You know this person.
I do, actually.
You got a photo with they, them, they, her.
Yeah, years of doing radio, did 28 years of radio in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. You do these emergency preparedness segments mm-hmm. on occasion. And we brought her in every year for the St. Louis Emergency Management Preparedness Messaging
mm-hmm.
that they're, you know, to do.
Did you
annually.
Find her competent?
I didn't find her incompetent. I don't, you know,
it looks
this
like you
stage,
have a picture with a small boy.
Yeah, she's short. I mean, I'm tall, but she's short.
It's like a tiny, small boy short.
I see what you're doing.
I'm just saying.
But yeah, I didn't particularly find anything incompetent about her at that point. I mean, these are some major mistakes. This is kind
you
of a job that
there's five people dead.
No, for sure. And this is something that she's going to definitely have to answer for. Like, I don't know how you get on paid administrative leave after this, but
especially when you're a DEI hire.
Right.
Like they put Kane is with this small child. Juan's throwing the photo up.
Look at that. Yeah. Oh, that,
yes,
oh, hey,
there's five people dead and you can't do. But they send out all of this other pride stuff all the time.
That's 2015 right there.
So they send out all this pride stuff all the time. So I sent you, you guys have, it says prepare with pride. And they're talking about, I guess when you go out for 4th of July or something like that. And it says prepare with pride, hydrate during the festival. Wear lightweight. Like, what does that have to do with, why does it have to be like a pride thing with the trans stuff on there? Why does that have to, I don't know. Like, it just seems like there's a lot more emphasis placed on like, this is how we have sex, and we have to make sure it's incorporated even in how we hydrate. Hydrate with how we have sex. Make sure you stay hydrated.
I think like a lot of that was just an effort to make you know, the agency itself seem, you know,
I mean,
like
why is
needed.
It? Why do you have to have this DEI stuff? Like, does the tornado button get pressed less if it's a straight person as opposed to someone who's they, them?
Apparently not.
I just, like, what is it? Does it? If I don't care what your intersectionality BS whatever is,
right,
unless it means you can press that button faster. If somehow being a they them gives you like a speed buff, then fine, whatever. This isn't damn Dark Tide. This is not like, oh, let's see, I got a blessing now on my weapon. I get to have this, you know, endurance buff, and I have, you know, stamina buff, and ooh, I got a boost in armor. This is not. That is not how this works. They act like they're add-ons that like improve somehow function, and instead it doesn't. It doesn't at all. It ignores so many times we have seen well-qualified people get ignored because they didn't check an intersectionality box. Well, yes, sir, we see that you're you literally lasso tornadoes single-handedly and submit them. You're applying for this emergency management position, but how do you have sex, though? I'm sorry, you don't have sex the right way, so you're disqualified. We're going to go with this young they-them over here instead, who can't press a damn button to warn people that there's a tornado barreling down the highway towards them to kill them all.
And mind you, it's not just about pressing a button. Like, let's say she's out and about like she was. You can call the fire department, and they'll activate the sirens.
I feel like they're trying to blame the fire department.
It could.
I mean, it's not like, wow, the weather's sunny today. We're going to go out to a workshop. That's not how St. Louis weather has ever worked on God's green earth ever.
Nope. You're
in the history
right.
of humankind, in the history of dino kind, it's never worked that way, ever. You know, it's bad weather. It's going to be a bad day when you wake up. You know it because the weather's going to just blow. It's going to be horrible. Let's go to a workshop. I'm going to get a, I mean, I also, can we talk about why do you have to be physically near a button?
Right. Well, St. Louis did put a statement out. They said moving forward that they'll explicitly.
Now that these five people are dead.
The city policy now will explicitly be the department, the fire department issue the warnings.
Five people had to die so they could remember who could issue what warnings. Bang up job, guys.
Man, that's rough.
Well, yeah.
Man.
Not as rough as finding five dead bodies in the rubble of a tornado that they weren't worried about.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm just trying to wrap my mind around this. This is insane. This is insane. Somebody in the chat goes, "Nah, the new pronouns now are has been." Yeah. That's right. They got thrown out on their they thems. Yeah. Now it's a has been. Good heavens. So they suspended this. And I mean, the devastation is just crazy. I don't know. They were like, oh, there's a breakdown in communication. How in the hell is there a breakdown in communication on this? Wow, what's that big funnel in the sky? It's a tornado. Sound the alarm. How do you get that wrong? It's not like there's a lot of steps. It's not like the Hadron Collider. You're not running anything crazy.
This particular agency didn't have a lot to do at all. And the thing was, the bar was so low for what you had to do that nothing was required of you until it was, right. And then you failed.
Right. You have one job. So. One job. One job. That's it. That's it. I'm so done with this stuff. I mean, clearly this broad, they, is, I don't care about your stupid pronouns. Just do your job. Do your damn job. Unless, again, any of your cosplaying gives you a buff of speed or, anything else. No, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Stop it. So, and an aside to this, how weird is it that we actually think about that when you're hiring for diversity? Well, wait a minute. How do you have sex? And the manner in which you get it on, how does that help you do your job of pushing buttons during emergency weather systems? I'm not kidding you. That's literally it. You're like, Dana, that sounds absurd. Yes, because it is absurd. The whole damn thing is absurd. You are so correct. Just do the job. Just do it. I'm done. All right. We have more on the way. So we roll towards Florida. Maybe Florida man will say, you know what? Florida man would have pressed a button. Probably with a gator, but he would have pressed the button. Maybe he would have had him left a meth fingerprint behind. He'd have pressed a button. Burn a gun. Look, it makes sense to diversify your weapons array. I'm not going to tell you not to carry. I think you should carry a gun. And I think that you should not be afraid to use it in defense of yourself or a loved one. I try to avoid gun-free zone areas because they're dumb. And it's unconstitutional. And these people don't do anything to protect you. They just want the virtue signaling of saying gun-free. But I also don't want to like make a political statement not carrying and then get turned into a statistic. So Byrna is a self-defense weapon. It's shaped like a gun. Like you got the Byrna rifle, you got all these other kinds. But I think for the purpose of this, the Byrna SD and their new compact launcher, the Byrna CL, that's what you need to focus on. And they shoot chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. It doesn't care about stupid gun-free zone signs. It doesn't care about any of that. There's no background checks. There's no waiting periods. You don't have to pay a tax stamp. There's none of it. It's sent right to your front door. And you are able to still have a means of protection when a private property wants to disarm you or a local or municipal restriction. And for college kids, too, that are too young to carry, but also live alone, this is a great idea for them as well. And it's super affordable. You can check it out. They have like different accessories and colors and all that. The Byrna CL, it's like maybe just under 7 inches long, really thin. And there's no recoil, easy target acquisition. And the SD, that's one of its best selling self-defense options. You can look at all of them at Byrna.com/Dana, BYRNA.com/Dana.
Could Luigi Mangione's killing of the United Healthcare CEO lead to anarchy in America? Pastor Alan Jackson says yes.
But he shot this insurance executive. And I mean, there's this whole host of people trying to justify it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because their insurance got canceled. Therefore, it's okay to go assassinate some insurance worker. That is teetering on anarchy.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, I mean, it's not a bad place to fall asleep. If you're going to fall asleep drunk in your car somewhere, why not a Popeyes? I mean, that's what this one dude thought. It was in Port St. Lucie. A man's late-night food run ended up with jail time instead of some Popeyes chicken. I mean, they do have some good chicken. Officers say his name is Love Floreal.
Okay.
No, it's not. Passed out behind the wheel in the Popeyes drive-thru while the restaurant was closed. Now, the car was still running. And in drive, open liquor containers and drugs all in plain view. Apparently, Mr. Floreal, not to be confused with L'Oreal, Mr. Love Floreal, was coming from a night out. He's wearing a club wristband. He was arrested and taken to St. Lucie jail, where he's charged with a DUI and possession. So, I mean, maybe he's just waiting for them to open. You know, I'm just going to pull up and have a little nap, wait for them to open. You know, get me chicken and a biscuit. I don't know. Maybe. Just saying. Apparently, Rockstar changed one of their GTA 6 characters after a Florida man wanted money. Gosh, this is like so perfect. Grand Theft Auto fans are convinced that one of the characters in GTA 6 was changed after Rockstar Games got called out for money over likeness. I don't even know because I don't play this game at all. I've never allowed my kids to play it. I'm like, no, we're not. If you're going to shoot baddies in the face, that's one thing. But you're not going to get to play as a gangbanger with a prostitute. Not going to happen. But they had, like, fans have been really, like, obsessing over trailers and screenshots. And they think that there's one character that's based on this TikToker. And the guy said that he used his, like, that Rockstar used his likeness and wanted to get paid. And so they, it looks like they took him out of it. So, interesting. We have a lot more on the way. Third hour next. Stick with us. Hey, folks. So, I want to share something important that every American should be aware of. We're seeing a lot of economic uncertainty right now. You have the national debt rising, global trade tensions impacting markets, and tariffs with higher prices on the stuff that everybody uses every day. It's not about panic. It's about preparation. So this is why I partnered with Goldco, the top-rated precious metals company, to help you take a step towards protecting your financial future. Smart investors look to hard assets like gold and silver to help weather the storm. It's a strategy that's been used for generations. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit that breaks it all down for you. And if you qualify, you could receive unlimited bonus silver, real silver, matched to your account with no taxes or penalties. It's a smart move that could help you feel more secure with what lies ahead. Visit danalikesgold.com to get started. That's danalikesgold.com and move forward with confidence.
Question.
Sure.
The president showed a video that he said showed more than 1,000 burial sites of white South Africans that he said were murdered. We know that that was not true and that the video wasn't showing that. So I wonder, why did the president choose
what's
to show that?
What's not true, Yamiche?
It's not true. The video was showing a burial site. It is unsubstantiated that that's the case.
No, it is true that video showed the crosses that represent
the burial site, which is what the president claimed.
The video showed images of crosses in South Africa about white farmers who have been killed and politically persecuted because of the color of their skin.
The president
and those crosses are representing their lives. Those crosses are representing their lives in the fact that they are now dead and their government did nothing about it. Are you disputing that there's no...
I'm disputing the fact that the video showed what the president claimed it showed because it did not show that. But even more, what I'm asking you is who at the White House...
No, it did show that. It showed white crosses representing people who have perished because of racial persecution.
Who at the White House verifies the videos that the president shows and what protocols are in place when there's unsubstantiated information being put out for the world and world leaders to show?
Yamiche, what's unsubstantiated about the video? The video shows crosses that represent the dead bodies of people who were racially persecuted by their government. In fact, the Associated Press, of all places, has a picture of that very monument. And the caption from the Associated Press is, "Each cross marks a white farmer who has been killed in a farm murder." So it is substantiated,
not
just by that video and the physical evidence that everybody saw on display in the Oval Office, but also by another outlet in this room, the Associated Press. So you should take it up with them if you believe the claim is unsubstantiated. And that's a ridiculous line of questioning. John.
Yeah, because it's not unsubstantiated. I mean, what they're talking about is this video that is online that the president showed in this press avail with the South African president yesterday. And it was a video that showed the aerial footage of a display that featured white crosses for the people that have been murdered, over white farmers that have been murdered over their land. This is absolutely true. And it supported, I went through with you, I think it was last week, the statistics, including the murder rate of South Africa, particularly as it pertains to farmers. And it absolutely is 1,000% true, and it's substantiated. The media doesn't want to acknowledge it. And the fact that they're saying that, what was she trying to do? Say that POTUS claimed that that was a cemetery?
That it was a burial site.
He never said that.
Yeah, no.
He said that represents the farmers that have been killed, is what he said. We played this audio. Hell, we watched it live, and then we played the audio. So we heard it repeatedly. He never said that it was a cemetery or some sort of like burial, whatever. He said that every one of those crosses represents a white farmer that was killed. What she's trying to do is saying that she's trying to act like it was that he's saying it was a cemetery. It was a memorial exercise. But regardless, they're trying to get all hung up on rhetoric when that doesn't change the fact that it happened, and that absolutely represents lives lost in this. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you at the top of the third hour. Chats at Rumble, channel 347, the stream of the radio program. I don't know if you've seen, they have been working overtime. First off, the Legacy Press, Twitchy had a write-up of all the Legacy Press that said this was an ambush. We played that audio for you. Ambush, 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 ambush. Not just in the video, but also in terms of the, excuse me, printed press. Oh, it's all ambush, ambush, ambush. Trump ambushed the South African president. He ambushed him. Ambushes these, I mean, that's that headline over and over again. I'm curious, how is it an ambush? How is it an ambush showing him this stuff? I mean, he knows that it exists because he's on camera having spoken to it. He's on camera, Ramaphosa, defending the land expropriation bill that he signed into law at the start of this year, this very year. He signed it into law. So I'm curious as to how it is an ambush to show people video of politicians in South Africa saying publicly on camera what we all know that they said. How is that an ambush?
It's not.
That is so stupid. What do they think was going to happen? I do think it's interesting how they all started saying the exact same thing. Right? It almost sounds like it was coordinated. Look at that. Ambush, ambush. They all, are you telling me that they all organically made this determination? Do you believe that? Do you think all independent of each other, they just thought, you know what? Ambush. You really think that they did that? Do you really believe that?
Nope.
Because if you do, just hold up. I have a bridge. It's amazing. It's for sale. Huh? It's an iconic bridge. In fact, you perhaps have seen it. I'm not joking. I'm totally serious. It's in San Francisco, right? Beautiful span bridge. It's gorgeous. I'll let you have it for $20 million. It's mine to give. Go ahead. So don't run a home title lock on it, though. So this other thing that they were going on and on about was Elon Musk being in the Oval Office. And I was thinking about his expression because he was staring down Ramaphosa. This is a guy who, with the ANC, has really meted out quite a lot of hell on that area and on Elon Musk. I mean, he grew up in this area. It's one of the reasons why he left. He's been pulling back from investing in politics. And some people are asking, they're trying to act like that's a sign of defeat. He always said, Kane, when did he say he was going to be leaving and stepping back?
Oh, he always said it was going to be like in May or, yeah.
That's Can you good. Remind everybody what month it is?
It's May.
Oh. So Musk said that he would be stepping back. He said this before the election, that he would step back in May. And it's May now. And he stepped back in May, the month that he said that he was going to step back before the election. And even after the election, he said he was going to step back in May. And that Doge was going to wrap up everything by June. So they're going to freak out when Doge does what it says and they wrap up in June. Interesting. He was in the, they're trying to act like they've been wanting to have a divide, and they definitely want to act like they have a scalp from him. And he had said, he had even noted that Musk was saying that he doesn't see a reason to do more political spending. And he hasn't really said so much that when he was at the Qatari Economic Forum, he had said, quote, I think I've done enough. And I think he has. I mean, he's done more than in terms of spending than almost anybody. I just don't know how you're the Republican Party and you're looking at this and you're like, why aren't we going to, I mean, this, he came in to do this, and why aren't we going to do more? I'm just curious about that. Just curious about that. But this idea that of the press going in and trying to act like, oh, the premise is that it was staged and these people were never murdered. They have not covered the genocidal issue in South Africa for years. I don't expect them to start now. But it was nice to have it thrown in their face, because these are people who always claim that they care for the underdog and they want to fight for the underdog. But that never happens. Never happens. Which reminded me also of this story. I wanted to pull this up because we didn't have a chance to get into this. Let me go to this. I actually made mention of this on my personal Facebook page. Have you guys seen the stories of the, from all of the stuff that's coming up from the COVID stuff? Like, for instance, how the, I'm going to pull this story up, forgive me, how the administration, the last administration, knew the risks of myocarditis and others and other risks. They knew about these potential risks from these shots, and they took steps to downplay them, according to a new Senate report that is out from Senator Ron Johnson's office. Federal health agencies since February of 2021 were alerted to large reports of myocarditis in young people. And there's a separate, let me pull this up, there is a separate study. This is from CBS. FDA expands COVID vaccine warning about heart side effect risk for young males, particularly. So there's always a risk. Always a risk. Our family had it naturally, and we did not get the shot because we have natural immunity. We didn't just decide to chuck science to go along and virtue signal with a bunch of people who are happy to yeet themselves into oblivion. I feel bad for the people who were forced to take it. And I understand the reasons that some wanted to take it. You know, that's the difference between, I think, us and them. I never judged anybody for taking it. But I got to tell you, I mean, the hell that we caught, and I know you, I think everyone that's in the same boat has the same experience. We caught, my family caught so much hell because we did not get the injection. We literally had longtime friends drop us for being friends, like scream at us on the phone, saying that we were going to endanger the entirety of the public because we didn't get the shot. Now, our so-called friends pretended to be so concerned about us, but they were never concerned enough to ask if we ever actually had it ourselves, thus natural immunity, or they weren't also not concerned enough to ask if there were any kind of health complications, which for two people in my family, there absolutely were. There were health complications, and we were doctor advised, absolutely not, for this injection by our doctor, one of whom is a cardiologist, said absolutely not. And our so-called friends never actually, you know, cared enough about our health to actually ask if there were any complications. We just got yelled at and dragged publicly, or they tried to, because we wouldn't get the injection. And now we knew all this stuff, but now it's coming out because people have the, they don't have to worry about losing political capital to tell the truth on it now. And I got to tell you, I so badly want to say I told you so. I so badly want to do it. But how crazy is it? And I've talked to people all around the country since then, and I can't tell you how many people told me something similar. And in some cases, you know, with ours, we had longtime friends that they couldn't be friends with us anymore because we didn't get the vaccine. I'm not even kidding, vaccine in air quotes. But I talked to a woman when I was in Virginia, when I was visiting out in Virginia, KRV, and I spoke to someone who had said that her sister had actually stopped talking to her because of this. And she hasn't talked to her sister since like 2021. Her sister, who is like 2 years older, she got the injection. The younger one didn't. And the younger one, the woman I was talking to, she's like, I've had COVID twice. She said, in fact, she goes, I am positive that I had had it because her husband travels for work. She was like, I'm positive that I had it before it became a big thing. Like right when people started talking about it, I'm positive I had it. She ended up getting it again anyway. And she was like, you know, I guess we don't believe in natural immunity anymore. And her sister and her sister's family just raked her through the coals. And she said they basically disowned us. So they haven't spoken since 2021. Her sister still will not have anything to do with her. Has her mask on, still has a Facebook profile photo, she said, that has her mask on in it. I don't get that. But it's like, we never judged anybody who got it. But we were judged plenty for not getting it. And I like I said, I think people need to have a little bit more grace and discernment for those of us who, for reasons of our own, and look, you don't have to justify someone's disrespect and callous lack of concern by providing them with your entire health history. It should be enough. They should be satisfied with, you're my friend and I agree with your decision. And what I realized is that these people were never my friends anyway. And anybody who treated you like that because you had the same position, they were never friends to you anyway. They never cared about you anyway. We have all these stories. They're expanding the vaccine warning now. Oh, now the FDA is all about saying it's not safe. Now they don't want to mandate it. They don't want to suggest it for younger people now. Ooh, they don't want to suggest it for older people either. They don't want to suggest it for anyone. And they have all of these. Cleveland Clinic USC study looked at the vaccines. There's also a separate study that said the infection is linked to a sharp increase in long-term risk of heart attack and stroke. Separate from, and I think it's on the severity of which you had it, separate from the issue of getting the shot. So I'm just saying, you know, some people did not want to jump into the unknown. And shame on those who judged them for that. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, it's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, and Patriot Mobile wants to save you money while simultaneously making sure that they are not spending your money on things that you vote against at the ballot box. For instance, they want to make sure that you're not supporting financially DEI or gun control or anti-Semitic Qatari-backed stuff like the stuff I was talking about on college campuses all around the United States. No, you're going to pay. I pay less with Patriot Mobile. It's been my service for over a decade, and you support the causes that matter to you. You need to be mindful with your money, and that also includes who you do your cell phone service with. Seamless switching. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Keep your number, keep your phone. I mean, it's entirely up to you. Or you can not. You can get all new things. They make it easy. Get a free month of service right now when you use code Dana. Super easy. Promo code Dana. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service using promo code Dana. Switch today and defend freedom with every call and text you make. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A drug smuggling cat, which kind of sounds like a British band name, was caught trying to sneak into prison with heroin strapped to its back. It was trying to climb over the barbed wire fence in Costa Rica with a backpack full of heroin, and they had to cut it off the cat. I don't know how they thought that was going to work, but it was trying to get entry to the penitentiary there, and they caught them. It had 68 grams of heroin, a bunch of pot. And they said they believed that this cat was trying to smuggle drugs to inmates. Now, I don't know what makes them think that, Kane. It was just a cat with a backpack of drugs, you know. I mean, can't a cat walk around with a backpack of drugs? And space bugs, unknown bacteria found on China's space station, never seen on Earth, with a unique ability after astronauts swab the cabin. That'll be the next thing that they come get us with. There you go. Space bugs. Stick with us. More in store.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There, Larry, has been debate over that song, that anti-apartheid chant, right? And for people who don't have a historical context, it does potentially appear more literal. Talk to us about the debate that has happened inside of South Africa with the recognition of how it appears to people when they hear those words.
It is an inflammatory song, without a doubt. And many in South Africa, even black South Africans, don't think it should be sung in a post-apartheid world, 30 years plus after apartheid. But there are many who grew up under those years of white minority rule who understand the historical context of this song, Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer, that Julius Malema has made popular again. It sort of fell into disuse. It's not been that commonly sung after the end of apartheid in 1994, but it's brought it back again to reanimate the issue of the majority of land in South Africa still being owned by white farmers.
Okay, what I love that. Well, you know, it's the historical context, you know, and that it would, you know, it's, of course, you might think, you stupid people, that they're talking about it literally because you lack the context. So, yes, what is the context of kill the Boer, kill the farmer? I mean, it's not like a Yo Gabba Gabba tune. What do you think it means? We may never know. It's just a mostly peaceful genocide. You know, that's all it is. That's just all. So, wait, so you're not supposed to take it literally? Like, from the river to the sea, too? You don't take that literally? What? That's so stupid. No, no, no. It's, you know, it's a lack, they lack history. If you're upset about kill the Boer and then mimicking the sound of gunfire, and then upon which you follow that with kill the farmer and more gunfire noises, you just, you know, you're lacking the historical context. That's all. So what context, what is that? How does that make it more acceptable? Well, and then you heard what the guy said towards the end. Well, as you know, the land is still, they've been there for over 400 years. Over 400 years. And the brutality being perpetrated upon them is horrific. However much you loathe the media, it is never enough. It is never enough. So I don't understand what their context would, what they think makes it better. I don't. No, but that's how they're going with it. Yeah, kill the Boer. No. It's just a chant. I mean, just a little song. Yeah, just a song. You wouldn't be able to use it excuse with anything else. No. Not at all. They're going to try to deny it. Imagine though, you came out. What did you say? There was an image like you came to the Oval Office for money, and instead you got.
Yeah, you came to the White House for money. Instead, you got 4K video of genocide in your country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They want to deny it. That's what it's all about. Can I show you? Can we go back to this one thing that we had in headlines real quick? This is Audio Sound by 20. Juan showed you some of this. I need to have a conversation about the standing airplane seats. Are they trying to get people to go all falling down with Michael Douglas in the sky?
This will do it.
So budget airlines are considering launching these controversial, I'm looking at the name of Skyrider 2.0 standing seats. Yeah. And I don't know what the ticket price would be. They are being introduced by a manufacturer. They want to increase passenger capacity by 20%. And they unveiled it at the Aircraft Interiors Expo several years ago. And they said it's an innovative seat. It allows an ultra-high density in the aircraft cabin. And it opens up the traveling experience to a wider passenger market. Okay, Kane?
Yeah?
And I know Juan has the video of how I watched this guy struggle with a bag in there. Okay, so if I'm flying, I do work typically unless it's on vacation. And I don't know this guy. If you're watching this, the simulcast,
God, no.
How in the world do you even open your laptop or anything to
you
work
don't.
In that?
You don't. How do you uncompress your spine? You don't.
Next, they're going to be, we're strapping passengers to the wings to increase our capacity and open up a whole new market of passenger class. Yes, you're going to get buckled and you got to hold onto your suitcase tight. We're going to strap you to the wing.
Mm-hmm. Wing straps are only $10 with budget airlines.
With budget airlines. And you get extra leg room if you're strapped onto the wings. Fresh air, no drinks or bathroom, but you won't notice because you'll probably defecate your britches before we even leave the ground. It looks like hell. I think I don't like being enclosed in small spaces, and I think I would riot. I think I would immediately.
I barely want to be on a plane when I'm seated comfortably.
It's like you're sitting on a banana. Uh-huh.
It, even if I'm seated comfortably, I hate being on the plane. Like, this is what do I want now? Two additional people closer to me? No.
And people are weird on planes. I mean, this fellow can't even get in. He's Look trying to him. Squeeze himself in. I love it. You knew that, you know that when they unveiled us at the expo, they were like, okay, Bob, why don't you just slide in there? And let's see if you can get all, situated. And he's, they were trying to show how easy and nice these seats were. And that guy was on the struggle bus, like instantly trying to wedge himself in there. Now, the first chick, there's nobody in front of her, so she can sit in it fine. Her legs are even extended out further than this guy. Look at this guy. He can't even get in the seat. He's struggling to even get in the seat. He can't even get in it.
I thought we were moving in the direction where
we need
bigger seats, because you remember those people that with the large bottoms, that they're just huge butts and they have to buy two seats?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the direction we were moving. What is this?
What happens if you're one of those individuals?
Oh, you need that damn whole row.
And
the one in front of you.
Yeah, and you're trying to, like, get... And then what happens then? Because are they going to have to come... I'm going to pull up this. What happens then if that's you, then what happens? And you're sitting next to someone that they can't... In a normal seat, they would take a couple of the seats. I can't even believe that this is a thing that we're all considering. So, I mean, I don't know. But in Turkey, it might not be a problem. Did you hear what they're doing in Turkey?
Uh-oh, what?
So, overweight people are publicly weighed in order to slim down under new rules in Turkey. And they have inspectors patrolling public spaces.
Wait a minute. Is that what this is? Without actually weighing people? Without actually weighing people...
Turkey. This is a separate story.
No, I know. But to think about that, this is what they're doing. Instead of weighing you, they're making these tiny seats that make it impossible. So you look at them, you're like, well, I can't go in there. I'm too big for that.
Yeah.
Boom. Now fat people aren't flying.
They rolled out a nationwide plan to stop and weigh people in public, with inspectors telling them to slim down if they're found to be overweight. Health workers in Turkey have been deployed across each of the country's 81 regions with weighing scales and tape measures as the drive to assess 10 million people by July 10 is underway. Passersby are stopped by medical examiners for spot body mass index checks. What if you don't want to do it, though? I don't think that's probably going to be an option for you to not do it. But they said, they're told to go to a dietitian or whatever, and then they have to lose weight. But yeah, they're in shopping malls, they're out in the streets. There are people who've been posting pictures all around Turkey showing that they're being guided onto weighing scales, having their height measured and then their weight calculated. And they're told to slim up. And they go, well, like, drivers are warned of speeding traps, they're warning people about being overweight. Can you imagine? It's an anti-obesity campaign that officials describe as a national fight, and they're running it under the tagline, Know Your Weight and Live Healthy. It started on May 10th, and they're going to survey 1 in 8 Turks. Anybody with a BMI over 25 are referred to a state-run family health center and a healthy life center where they get nutritional counseling and follow-up services. Now, the Turks are mad. They are saying that this is the government being out of touch with the daily realities of soaring food prices and wage stagnation and the impact this has on healthy eating, et cetera, et cetera. And the Erdogan government has been criticized because they're like, it's super public. They're weighing everybody in public. They're like fat shaming you in public. Now, I'm all about being healthy, and I don't like the whole body positivity campaign that celebrates morbid obesity. But I also think I don't like the government walking around at all, like saying, hey, get up here, Sally, on this scale, and we're going to weigh you. Tammy, Karen, Yamish, get up here on this scale, and we're going to weigh you. And then everybody sees it. Now, the World Health Organization, however you want to take this, they estimated that 30% of people in Turkey are obese. And so they said that... Yeah, that's how they're going. They think this is going to work. How would that work in the United States? I would imagine somebody's scale would get broken. If somebody tried doing that, I think I would knock the scale out of their hands and, like, get away from me. No, you can't because of HIPAA. I mean, there's no way you could do something like
but
that.
But I'm totally less bothered by weighing people before they get on the plane than those damn seats you first were
showing.
Oh,
King's not over the seats.
No, I'm not.
Well, they don't weigh you before you get on the plane. This is a whole other plane in
Turkey.
No,
I know that. But there's no possible way that I could ever, ever think of flying on a plane like that. There's no... Like, think about it. Now you're fitting how many more people in the plane? 20, 30,
King's
40?
Very upset by those.
So now we have an issue of a weight problem. We have now more people in the plane. Now I'm concerned about...
How many times have you heard, too, where they have to adjust the weight of the plane?
Yeah.
And they ask people to get off. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're only asking like four or five people to get off. So you're telling me whether or not this thing sinks or flies... Yes. Or falls out of the sky or not is dependent upon four people being on this plane. Makes me worried.
Physics is still a thing.
Oh, a little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah, physics is the thing that bothers me. So I don't know. But they said that one of the things that the Turkish people were hitting back at is they were saying that a lot of the professional athletes they have technically qualify as overweight based solely on their BMI because they have much more muscle mass, which weighs proportionally more than fat, which is true. Right. Is that so? Yeah, they wouldn't be taking that into consideration, would they? So, do you see how stupid these a government-run program like this is? It's so dumb.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of the Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Little B-52s. This is such a great song. I remember when I was a kid, this was on my Walkman. I made my own little tape through great effort. And whenever we would do little family road trips and that with my mom, I always had B-52s on it. And I always had this song. It was such a great song. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. Did you hear about this story of a Democrat city that's giving low-income residents $150 a month to spend on trips to Disneyland? It's in Los Angeles. They get a $150 monthly travel stipend to spend on Disneyland. Woo! Best use of money, right?
We just did a story like last week where this guy, one day at Disneyland, he spent $1,400 because it's so expensive there. What's $150 going to do?
Well, I don't know, but it's nice that they're doing it, isn't it?
Is it?
It's a part of their Democrats' mobility wallet pilot program. And they offered 1,000 qualified people a prepaid debit card. And they could use it for the Metro, Uber, Greyhound, Disney. Yeah.
I see now.
Mm-hmm. And then UCLA did some research on it, though. And the first round of the project is over. And now all this financial stress is once again burdened the community.
Oh, man.
It didn't work. I, for one, am completely shocked. I mean, I thought that all of the income inequality would be solved by this. Mm. And that all the drugs and all of that would stop. And I just thought everything would be fixed, Kane. And they didn't fix it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like every time government throws money at a problem, it seems like there's a pretty common outcome every time. And it's usually failure.
It's like it doesn't work. It's really wild how that happens, right? So they said, some participants said that he was real happy because he got to go to Disneyland. Did it also make sure that you had food now permanently? You'd have to worry about food and all that kind of stuff? I'm just curious. You know, just thinking, I got some questions about it. You know, I'm just, I don't know. I don't know, Kane. I don't think that's how that's all supposed to work. I'm just saying, that's not the best way to spend money, especially when you're Los Angeles and you're broke and you're running a deficit and you're in the red and you have no money and you can't even afford water desalination. And you blew like, I don't know how many billion on a railroad that's not finished, that doesn't go anywhere, high-speed rail. I mean, you know, what else is there? Yay. So I'll follow along, whether it's on Substack. There's an update on Substack, the post that I had last night about the big, beautiful bill. And if it passes the Senate, probably the best place to catch it. I think I'm going to put something up at Facebook, the official Facebook page. I will not be behind the mic tomorrow, but I will be back Tuesday. for this Memorial Day weekend, in which those who gave all, we honor those individuals. God bless them. In the meantime, we have today in Stupidity, Kane.
Yes, ma'am, and it could have been a couple of different cuts from The View, because those harpies are a couple fries short of a Happy Meal. This, though, is the South fries. African president. This is him caught on tape, and wouldn't it be weird? And this is the stupidity that I'm pointing towards our media. This is so easy to see and get, but yet they don't want to report on it. As a matter of fact, they want to push a narrative that's opposite of it. Listen to what South African president says here.
The question of land, the land of our forefathers and our foremothers, must return to our people without any fail and without any payment of compensation.
What?
And it must happen now.
So take land without any payment,
that's
without any compensation?
That's the act that he signed. That's the expropriation, the Land Expropriation Act that he signed at the early, at the first part of this year.
And we have thousands of white farmers dead after.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, it was real. And they,
sounds
the
like
media's
genocide.
Trying to act like that didn't happen. Folks, that does it for us until Tuesday. It's Memorial Day weekend. Some gave all gave some gave all, and God love you for those who gave the grandest gift in service. We love you. We love your families. God bless. Back with you Tuesday.